let's do the thing.
We're live.
We're live.
We're live.
What episode is this?
I don't fucking know.
Episode 37. 37 in a row?
Look, it doesn't mean anything, Mike. The guys I really like, I do a podcast with, and everybody else I just kind of email.
Has it finally reached the point where we're like showing our age by making Clerks references, as opposed to being like the cool kids who had seen Clerks?
We're finally those people who are like, ah, Clerks. I remember when this was on a VHS tape. I did watch that the other night. It came on the movie channel, and I caught it right at the beginning. I was like, ah, Clerks, this will be awesome. I've never seen it in high def. Because, you know, when you think of Clerks, you think, I'd love to see that stretched out to 1080p. Ew. Stretched out, you can make out every VHS copy in that, like, the cover of every VHS in that video store Randall goes to towards the end. Oh, yeah. And it is just goddamn depressing. This is the first thing my eyes would do. I was like, that's a Ghostbusters VHS.
I was thinking you look back and see when Jean-Claude Van Damme and Steven Seagal still had careers.
Fuck that. You can watch that movie and see when Kevin Smith still had a career. Welcome to Room Full of Nerd Stuff, number blowjob 37. I assure you we're recording today.
That needs to be the like headline picture.
That's the title right there. Yes. I assure you we're recording. We got some stuff to get to. Knight of Champions card we're going to go through. That'll probably finish us out for tonight. I'm going to go and get this one out of the way because I think you and I are going to both say the same thing about this, but I feel like we have to bring it up. Microsoft bought Mojang.
Mm-hmm. Well, did they buy Mojang or did they just buy Minecraft off of them?
They bought Mojang is my understanding.
Okay, I thought it was just the property Minecraft and Mojang is still its own company, but
nope.
Details nope. Are still sketchy, so...
According to ZDNet, Microsoft bought Mojang.
Okay.
$2.5 billion. Mojang joins Microsoft Studios. Notch is probably... Yeah, Notch, Carl, and Jacob, the three founders, are leaving the company. Microsoft's like, I don't know what they're planning. Microsoft, I don't know. All I have to say about this is, eh.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to do much. Everyone's kind of losing their mind over it, but... Well, I mean, everyone that's... Because I watch a lot of Minecraft Let's Players and stuff, and they're all sort of, what's going to happen? What does this mean for Let's Plays? And yada, yada, yada. But I don't foresee much changing.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised to see some things change down the road. We'll probably eventually get some sort of a sequel. something with... Like, I know that sounds ridiculous to say you can't do a sequel to it. But, you know, we'll get something like Minecraft 2 or the new Minecraft. We'll get... Something that'll be slightly different in a way that Microsoft can capitalize on it, but we'll see the original probably. I don't think they could really destroy the original because it's not anything Microsoft hosts directly.
Yeah.
So you're not going to see Minecraft go away and you're probably not going to see it change, but I wouldn't be surprised if you see a new Minecraft of sorts.
Well, it'd be like with The Sims, how it seems so ridiculous to make a sequel to it, but they've done it three times.
Yeah.
And it's like, instead of just releasing an expansion pack where they can get $20 out of someone who already owns the game, they can just make a sequel and charge $50 for a new game.
Yeah. I don't think this is going to be anything. They're not going to alienate their fan base by suddenly making Minecraft a fucking pay-for content.
Yeah.
I expect you'll see some sort of like Minecraft or Facebook show up in a couple of years. And it's probably going to be terrible, and you're probably going to have to pay, like, 99 cents to get energy to put more blocks down or some bullshit.
To get mining fatigue.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Wait 24 hours or pay $5 now to get rid of the mining fatigue.
You know what they'll do? Survive the night or pay $5.
Yeah, to sleep.
It's going to be a bed with one of those, like, coin slot things by if it makes a bit shake. So that's my thoughts on that.
Into a cheap motel.
Well, it's Microsoft. Yeah, that's all I have to say. Nothing's gonna happen.
Yeah. So it's like it's the biggest news story that has no real news around it.
It's It's like as soon as I saw that, I was like, that's going to be awesome to talk about on the podcast. Then I realized neither you or I give a shit about that.
Yeah.
That has no ramifications. Yeah.
Well, especially now. I mean, when two big companies merge, you really don't start seeing effects until 2 or 3 years down the road. So it's like to say this is going to happen or that's going to happen or even speculate on what's going to happen, it's far too early to even start thinking about it.
Yeah. But come 2018, when the Minecraft motion picture hits theaters.
I heard they were working on that.
That makes about as much sense to me as a fucking Warcraft movie. Fucking hell.
Yeah, you really can't make a movie about one isolated guy with cows and pigs and weird green penis monsters that explode.
I mean, you could, but it wouldn't be a movie you could show in theaters.
Well, certain theaters.
This is in Minecraft XXX.
Just here, take Castaway and superimpose creepers into it, and you have the Minecraft movie.
There you go. Instead of Wilson, he's got a pig's head or something he carries around with him. So that's our thoughts on Minecraft.
So that's that, yeah.
That's that. Mike, what have you been up to this week?
Some rejection and depression and...
you know, just same shit as you always. Know. Usual shit.
Trying to hang on to any reason to not kill myself.
Well, you have 37 consecutive podcasts.
There you go.
Under your belt. Have you considered putting that on your resume?
Hey-o.
I would recommend not doing so.
Yeah. When people find out about the podcast and they're like, I didn't know you did a podcast. I'm just like, you don't need to listen.
there's a reason.
There's really no reason to actually listen to it.
Here's Mike talking about dicks. Okay. All the great things from his Twitter feed just said out loud.
But by you, because you steal all my fucking jokes.
I'm sorry. Do you have a joke you would like to tell right now?
No.
No?
I just know that when we talk about Raw, you're always reading all the shit off my Twitter feed.
Yours is like the only Twitter feed I see when I look anymore. You and Matthew of Botchamania and Zack Ryder.
Come up with your own snarky wrestling comments.
Come up with your own shit. By the way, I don't know if you saw this in the last week. They're expanding the legacy Power Ranger toy line yet again.
It bothers me because I want to buy all of it and I can't.
You saw what it's going to be this time.
Well, I saw the movie figures.
Yeah.
All except the White Ranger, which I found strange.
Excuse me. I have no doubt in my mind that's coming.
Oh, yeah. Of course it is.
Probably in like a 12-inch talking deluxe version that comes with a scrap of the movie set and a sample of JDF's hair so you can clone him. And
Well, by the time like Turbo ended, he had about 7 feet of hair.
Yeah.
And then he cut it all off. So where
it all had to go somewhere.
Yeah, so why not package it in these toys? Other than the fact that it's kind of gross.
Fucking Jason David Frank's 15-year-old long-ass greasy hairs packaged in a box and sold to you for $79.99. Sounds exactly like the kind of shit he would do, actually. I did not.
He's on the horn with Saban right now trying to get that done.
Yeah, you guys. I'm having a hard time coming to grips with what this, like, Power Rangers legacy toy line is now. Other than, I guess, really the culmination of 20 years of Power Rangers, because it just keeps goddamn expanding.
Yeah, when it was, like, the original Megazord, and then the Dragonzord, and, did they do...
Two more first.
Did they do Titanus?
They did Titanus, and I think I saw they're also gonna do the Thunderzords.
Yeah, because I started seeing the White Tiger Zord and stuff, and it's like, once I saw the White Tiger Zord, it's like, oh god, we're going to do this for every fucking season, aren't we?
No, just the original Mighty Morphin. I don't think we're going to see Legacy Zeo Rangers.
Just wait.
Just wait for your Legacy Zeo Morpher.
Because it's like, Saban finally realized that there's nostalgia in everything, and is just marketing the shit out of every old Power Rangers thing that they can.
It wouldn't surprise me to see this end with, if they decide to keep going, it will probably end with Lost Galaxy, the last Saban season. Was Lost Galaxy the last Saban season?
No.
No.
That was technically the last of the Zordon era.
Yeah.
But the last Saban season sorta, it was in the middle of the transition to Disney, was Wild Force.
Right.
Bling blong, phone going off, making noise.
There was you this time, Mike, as I checked to make sure mine is turned off. It is not.
But yeah, Wild Force was the last Saban season, so we're going to get 10 years worth of stuff leading up to Wild Force, just in time for the
30th anniversary?
Yeah, the 30th anniversary, where they'll start marketing the Disney stuff, because they own all that shit, too.
I figure the 30th, they'll just turn around and start repackaging and re-releasing all the 20th anniversary shit.
This is all the stuff from 10 years ago that we didn't sell.
Don't you remember how great this was 10 years ago? Don't you have kids now? Buy this shit! Yeah, I was fine when it was just the Mighty Morphin stuff, when it was the Zords and the Morpher. I was even okay with there being two separate Morphers, because whatever, fuck it. That's a stupid cash grab, but whatever, it's harmless at the end of the day. The inclusion of the movie figures baffles me. I remember the movie being a big deal, and I know you're an apologist for the movie.
I like the movie.
That's why I said you're an apologist for the movie. I just can't believe it's being included in the Legacy Celebration.
Oh, I don't know. I have mixed thoughts on it. It's like, it makes sense on one side, but on the other, it wasn't the show.
Right.
So,
on the other hand, you've already pre-ordered your character with her Thunder Whip. I hope they have light-up eyes on their helmets.
Hey, only Aisha had the light-up eyes.
Well, I hope Aisha has light-up eyes.
So, there we go.
There we go. Saban, if you're listening, and you did finally watch Super Mega Force.
I did. I caught up on the most recent 3 episodes.
I had to think really hard on the last one to try to remember which episode of Gokaiger that was from. With the love potion.
Yeah, that was the... They had the Turbo Ranger.
Yeah.
Or Car Ranger guy.
Get it right. Turbo Ranger's a different
one. Yeah, god damn it, Michael. But god they made that joke it, in it, didn't they?
In Gokaiger, yes.
Yeah. And then I found it odd that we had 2 episodes that were very Orion-centric to have an episode that didn't include him at all.
2 episodes about how important Orion is to the team. Well, bye!
Which... makes me wonder, I have to go back and watch, was he in that episode? Did they do that one out of order? Was Guy around in the Turbo episode?
I don't think he was. Because I feel like the Car Ranger episode was fairly early in.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure on the timeline.
It's been a long time since I've watched Gokaiger, and it's been even longer for you, I believe.
Yeah, so... if they did it out of order, then it kind of makes sense why Orion wasn't there. But even, like, to maybe just Tommy him, where he has to run off and take care of something and isn't around for the fight.
Yeah, that was the 14th episode of Gokaiger. That was long before Guy showed up.
Yeah.
I don't know why they did it out of order like that. I don't know why they even bothered with that episode.
Well, they did it with Samurai, too.
Yeah.
Sort of mid-season finale of that, where it was the origin story were supposed to be the first 2 episodes.
Right, it got pushed back because it wasn't finished or something.
Something like that.
I thought that worked out pretty great, actually, because if you had aired them in order, the way it was aired, you kind of got the impression the team had been around for a few years.
Right.
I kind of like that feel. Whereas if you go back and watch it in order, it's like, we've been together for 2 minutes. We are experts.
We are 5 strangers that have been brought together for this one reason, and now we're best friends because someone shot an arrow into the side of our house.
Somebody shoots an arrow into the side of my house. My first reaction is, yay, green arrow. My second reaction is, this is going to be difficult to repair. And then I remember I rent, and I don't care.
I'm going to have to call the guy.
Yeah, I'll go fight in your Power Ranger Samurai squad, but I'm going to need you to fix my house. So the episodes, there were 3 episodes that we've missed since they aired, or you've missed since they aired. Power of 6, which was an adaptation of the Gokaiger, the second Guy story, or third Guy story, I think, possibly, I can't remember. Anyway, the Anchor Key, which I thought was a really good use of that footage. I thought that episode came across really well.
I did too, but again, in true Power Rangers fashion, like, I remember Guy having to sort of unlock the 6th Rangers before he was able to just use them all.
Yeah.
And
don't remember him talking about it that much, though.
And then there was, like, in the Power Rangers version, it's like, here's a belt, you can get them all.
Yeah. I thought that it was, here's this belt that will unlock everything. It looks exactly like the belt you are already wearing.
But they tweaked it.
What do you mean?
They...
Oh, yeah, the giant red button on the top of it?
They linked it to the morphing grid so that he can access the powers. Duh, Christopher, jeez.
I'm sorry.
And then they put it around Tensu's neck, and it made a silly collar.
It's way better than that weird scene in Gokaiger where they were like, we're going to just send this beam of energy straight to your crotch. the next one, The Perfect Storm, I cannot remember for the life of me what episode of Gokaiger that was taken from. I feel like the Wild Force episode?
But they didn't... That one didn't have a whole lot to do with the Gokaiger footage. It was all about chasing Tensu around.
Yeah, and that kind of weird, creepy guy who works on yogurt machines.
The giant drug dealer with the scar across his face.
Oh my god. What kind of fucking briefcase looks like that? And then the PSA of that week. No, it's not ours. We can't open that briefcase.
We don't own it. We shouldn't break into it. Like, maybe it'll tell us who it belongs to.
The best part of that is, having watched it and seen the end of it, Jake was absolutely right. They could have solved that mystery in 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Yogurt parts.
Like, oh, these are pieces for the yogurt machine. We should probably take this to Ernie's. Like, that...
No, it's not right.
It's like, I won't tell anybody. If I, like, lose my wallet, feel free to open it, find my ID card in it, and contact me. It's okay.
The Pink Ranger is not going to do that because it's not her wallet. She should just stare at it and frantically, like, run all over town.
I'm giving everyone within earshot of this podcast permission to look in my wallet if I lose it.
Tarv?
Yeah.
Tarv, Jesse, Ben?
I don't think Ben listens to this.
Ben doesn't listen to this. Hashtag Ben is an asshole. And then the Car Ranger episode we discussed already. And then the series is back weekly until it finishes up its run sometime in November, I believe. Rumor going around now is the finale may be like a double-sized episode or something, the Legend War.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Yeah, because I've been wondering that for a while. I'm like, man, that's a lot of shit to cram into 22 minutes.
Although it dawned on me today as I'm watching them that it's like they had the episode where, what's his name, Jaden showed up.
Right.
And then Casey showed up.
Right.
So it sort of looked like it was mirroring the whole, like, a ranger's going to show up in each episode. Completely forgotten.
Yeah.
After those two guys showed up, the whole thing about a ranger showing up, completely forgotten.
Hey, don't forget, they went to that weird sky place and got the Red Lion Zord.
Oh yeah, the Flying Turtle Island.
Yeah, where not a single Wild Force Ranger is evidently staying.
I said they could have had Cole show up, but it would have been weird. Why did he try to kill Jaden 2 years ago?
Oh, Power Rangers.
Which I thought back in Samurai that would have been a cool twist if it had turned out to have been Cole that was somehow brainwashed by the Nylox.
Shh, you're putting too much thought into this, Mike.
Yeah, that would have been a little too logical for a children's show, I guess.
Kids were like, what? Kids wouldn't even have remembered Cole. We're talking, that was like almost a decade ago now.
It was exactly a decade ago.
It was a decade ago as of Samurai.
No, the Megaforce.
Well, no, because they were technically their...
Wild Force was the 10-year anniversary.
Right, but it was in 2002. Because remember, you have the extra season that didn't count of the remastered original Mighty Morphin.
I thought that they officially counted that one.
No, my understanding is they didn't. Because if they did, Megaforce would have been, like, 21.
Well, Super Megaforce is 21.
Something like that.
They're counting Super Megaforce as 21, so as of Megaforce, it would have been 20. Or it would have been 10 years. 10 seasons.
Something like that.
So I'm right.
I disagree. I don't care. I don't care.
You do care.
I don't care.
You do care, and you're going to look it up.
I'm already looking it up. And I can't find anything conclusive. I am sticking by what I said. Tarv, you can correct me if you would like. You have nothing better to do in that hotel tonight, Tarv. Just... admit it.
On this Friday night, not Wednesday.
On this Friday night at 6 p.m. because you watched Mortal Kombat this morning.
On my channel, not Chris's.
No, watch it on Chris's channel.
Watch on my channel.
Because hopefully on Chris's channel you can make some money off it where I can't.
Yeah! God, that was bizarre.
If you are a master of YouTube copyright law, please feel free to send us a tweet because we have some questions.
I mean, I remember when I tried to do Lollipop Chainsaw, it said, or I got a thing saying that Warner Brothers doesn't allow monetization of their games, but it's weird how it allows it for a couple hours.
Here's what I'm thinking is happening. I think it has to do with the tags we're putting on them, because I remember I put a different Mortal Kombat tag on the most recent video, and I feel like maybe just anything in that tag gets checked and Blanket denied.
So if you just don't tag it as Mortal Kombat,
yeah, maybe it's just so if we just don't tag it where nobody can find it. Problem solved.
There we go. That's how you monetize YouTube. Just don't tag it.
There we go. So make sure you're watching Mortal Kombat every Friday morning, because I'm sure as of this recording, I'm winning.
No, I'm winning.
No, I'm positive that at the end of part four, I'm winning.
Nope.
Oh, God. Did you watch NXT TakeOver?
I watched part of it. I haven't gotten to finish it yet.
I have not watched it because I have not yet renewed my WWE Network.
What?
I know I'm terrible. But I'll have to renew it for Sunday for the biggest pay-per-view event of the season.
SummerSlam? We already saw that.
WWE Night of Monday Night Raw, September 15th, over again. I don't even want to go into detail about Raw, which was basically just your match card for Night of Champions given away for free.
Well, from what I understand, it was rumored anyway, that the only thing that they had planned was the, like, Cena-Brock Lesnar segment, and they were still writing the show as it was going on.
That's not an unusual occurrence for Raw, is my understanding.
But, I mean, not, like, frantically rewriting it.
Right.
Like, actually going, you two, go on out.
Go have fun. Which led to the baffling decision to have Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns on Raw, a match which ended clean in a pinfall victory and is just gonna happen again at Night of Champions.
Yeah, it's like that feud ended. We're done.
It's done. He pinned him. Somebody pointed out, you gotta wonder how this affects one other person in the company, as Roman Reigns did in 7 minutes what Dean Ambrose hasn't accomplished in 3 months. Ambrose is, of course, expected to come back Sunday night at Night of Champions. My money is already on Rollins going to cash in on Lesnar and Ambrose stopping him. Because that's the gimmick.
I don't know that Rollins would cash in on Lesnar. Because they're both heels working for the Authority.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really make sense.
You just described the booking of WWE of the past 2 months. Just doesn't really make sense.
See, that's my problem. I still try to apply some manner of logic to the storylines.
There was also the highlight of Raw. I think you know exactly what I'm talking about, Mike.
The Mark Henry segment?
No, Cameron pinning somebody on their stomach.
Oh, God.
And screaming at the ref. Fucking count it! Count it, ref!
Showing exactly why she needs to go back to NXT. Like, if you've been in wrestling for, what, 3 years now?
Yeah.
And you don't know that you need to put someone on their back to pin them? Yeah, you need to go back to developmental.
Bill DeMott is weeping. That should be the... There you go, Bill. I just gave you the name of your next autobiography. Bill DeMott is weeping.
Oh, I'm sure Andy, the guy who actually won Tough Enough that she was on, is weeping.
Well, that's just because the steroids make him emotional.
Hell, everyone on that season is weeping right now.
Not Cameron. Weeping all the way to the bank with that Funkadactyl money.
Yeah, and the whole thing about how she's supposed to be the heel for wanting to, like, hone her craft. Because it means that the Funkadactyls had to break up.
Yeah, you know. Oh, God, the Funkadactyls have to break up.
But Cameron, this is all I have. You can't break us up.
You already broke up.
But they hadn't when the show was recorded.
Oh.
When Total Divas was filmed, they hadn't broke up yet. So that's why they had to break them up on TV, where Cameron still showed up every fucking week, despite apparently going to training.
Yeah, when they wrote Total Divas. I mean, when they filmed it. Yeah, Raw was a clusterfuck. When your linchpin of Monday Night Raw is John Cena wandering out right at halftime in the football game to try to steal some viewers.
Which it would have been lovely if they had explained that.
Yeah.
It's halfway through Raw. I'm like, it's halftime. We're an hour and a half in of a 3-hour show. Shouldn't this be happening?
Cena could have even just been like, you know what? I'm going to go back there and watch the football game. And when it's halftime, I'm going to come out and beat up this pudgy old man for no reason. Mm-hmm. Boy, Brock Lesnar is booked as one hell of a face right now, isn't he?
But see, the faces can get away with doing heel stuff to more hated heels.
Yeah, hate Paul Heyman.
So you can shit all over Paul Heyman because he's the real bad guy. Him and Brock,
he let ECW fail.
Him and Brock are like supervillains, so you can be mean to them.
Have you read this Kevin Kelly story about Brock Lesnar and the Barn Swallows?
No.
He said they were doing this interview for, I think it was WWE Confidential years ago. And they're in this barn on Brock's property in Minnesota, wherever the fuck it is. Saskatchewan? I can't remember.
Saskatchewan's in Canada.
Whatever. In Minnesota. Wherever it is.
In Minnesota. I don't know why. Saskatchewan. One of those two.
I'm very tired, by the way, everybody. Anyways, so they're doing this interview and there's these barn swallows making all this noise. And the producer is visibly upset about it. And Brock, being Brock, who off camera is generally agreed to be a very nice guy and much smarter than you would believe. He says, would you like me to do something about the barn swallows? And the producer's like, yes, he's going to shoo them away. It's going to be fine. Brock picks up a stick, knocks the nest down, and then proceeds to pick up all of the barn swallows and snap their necks.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Got to remember, he's a farm boy.
Yeah.
He's a farm boy. They're just some barn swallows. They were just going to come back if he shooed them away. Ladies and gentlemen, your WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
Of course, if that was back when he was dealing with Kevin Kelly, that's... God, he had to have been, like, 23 at that point?
Yeah.
He was fresh off the farm at that point.
Before he could conquer the streak, he had to conquer the cheap. Oh, God. Raw was abysmal. Oh, yeah, the other thing on Raw that was terrible. They did this on SmackDown, too. The referee being unable to tell Dolph Ziggler from R-Truth.
God.
Like, if you do it with Miz and Damian Mizdow, I can give you a pass. Oh, the referee didn't see his face. Sure, they're totally different body types, but maybe they're in a weird position and you can't tell that. There's a few differences between Dolph Ziggler and R-Truth.
Whatever do you mean, Christopher?
I'm just saying, they have different hairstyles, Mike.
But no, I liked the stunt double gimmick that they gave Sandow. Yeah. I thought it worked, and I was loving it when he would like run in and take the hit for Miz. But
I love watching Sandow during Miz's promos now.
Yeah,
because Sandow is trying to replicate everything the Miz does.
Yes, that's so awesome.
Like the hand motions and.
He's like watching him and doing it just 1 second off and kind of awkwardly, and God, he's so good at that. But to do this whole thing that you can't tell them apart, and then to have Ziggler get his own stunt double in R-Truth and continue, we can't tell them apart, it turned from something that was funny and entertaining to kind of insulting.
If only they kept Evan Bourne hired.
What? Bleach his hair and make him the...
Oh, hell yeah. You remember that one night where Dolph Ziggler came out with his hair cut short and brown and he looked just like Evan Bourne's older brother? Swap him out. Nobody will notice.
Until Evan Bourne gets on the top rope and does, like, 8 backflips.
I mean, Dolph Ziggler could do, like, 8 backflips. Well, technically it'd be 1 backflip and the rest would be him flopping around the ring selling from where he botched the 1 backflip. But you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's just that angle... It like I said, it went from funny to insulting real quick.
Very quickly. Alright, let's break this down real quick. The Night of Champions card. We have 8 confirmed matches. There's talk there will be an additional previously unannounced match on the pre-show. Pre-show is also going to have Jericho being interviewed on the Peep Show with Christian.
Yeah, remember when Christian had his own talk show segment? That was cool.
Yeah.
Like, because 8 years Jericho... ago.
Because Jericho had left, they needed somebody to do a talk show segment with Jericho gone?
Well, I thought that the Peep Show was because Edge got one. He had the cutting edge, and Christian was going to show that he was just as good as Edge, so he had the Peep Show.
Was that it? I couldn't... Poor Christian. Oh, by the way, Santino's talking about getting back in the ring. Speaking of Christian, who's probably all but retired at this point, Santino's talking about getting in the ring in a few months again.
Well, yeah, because he had neck surgery and apparently went very, very well. So it's looking like in 6 months he'll be able to start training to wrestle again, which...
Yeah, in 6 months he'll be training for that retirement run. Hang it up, man. I'd love to see Santino come back and have one really good run, but it's not going to happen.
No. Well, not as Santino.
No. I've always said, because there were some pictures I saw of him back when he was, like, around when he first debuted and he was the Intercontinental Champion, there were some pictures of him, like, working out or some bullshit. And he looks like you could repackage him into a badass. I feel like it's doable.
Yeah, he'd have to, like, lose some pudge.
Nobody says that about Mark Henry.
Well, that's because Mark Henry looks like he could eat a whole bear.
He could eat three Santinos.
But yeah, it's like if they repackaged him, sadly that would be getting rid of everything that's actually made him successful.
Yeah.
But he's like, I go back to when he almost beat Daniel Bryan in the Elimination Chamber and people were losing their fucking minds.
White hot. Should have struck while that iron was on fire, man.
Yeah. Like, I'm not saying that he should have been world champion, but that should have been turned into a much bigger angle after the crowd went nuts for him.
Yeah.
But apparently WWE doesn't know what to do anymore when the crowd actually goes against what they think is going to happen, and so they just kill angles.
Quick, while they're cheering, get John Cena out there. Ah, oh, look how much they love John Cena.
Like, I read about this whole Jack Swagger thing.
Yeah.
Like, people were asking, why did they just, like, squash him at SummerSlam and quickly move him on to Bo Dallas? And the answer was because he was getting over and they didn't expect him to. It's like, well, he's fucking over. Run with it. God, make some money off of it. Don't just push him off to the side because, oh shit, we don't know what to do now.
Better put him in the ring with Bo.
Someone's giving us unexpected success. Shit, better stop that.
For the record, I'm betting Jack Swagger versus Bo Dallas is going to be your pre-show matchup.
Yeah, possibly.
Because why not? Anyways, running down the card, I'll start from kind of the bottom of the card. Okay, well, not the bottom of the card. I'll start from the bottom of this list and work my way up. First up, National Pride on the line, Rusev versus Mark Henry.
Mm-hmm.
Rusev's probably going to win this one.
I would think so.
There's talk that Cena's getting ready to go into a program with Rusev after this.
Which I think is a mistake, but I'll get into that later.
I can't imagine why you would think that would be a mistake.
But, I don't see... Because Mark Henry is old and on his way out, and Rusev is a young, hot monster. So keep running with what you got.
Yeah.
We discussed this before the show a little bit, the segment that they had. While long, it didn't really need to go 11 minutes overrun. But
But football!
I liked what they were doing with it. Mark Henry seemed more genuine in his pro-America stuff than Jack Swagger did.
Yeah.
And Rusev and Lana, like, no matter what, can bring heat. So, well, except that they were in Louisiana talking against Barack Obama. Like, you're not going to get heat talking about a Democrat in the South. But I thought that, like, the idea behind the angle that they did on Raw was really good. It just ran a little too long.
I didn't hate it. It felt weird that it was like, that's what closed your show out. Especially when right before you had Reigns and Rollins.
Yeah, they should have put that segment before Reigns and Rollins.
Yeah. Stop trying to book the show for WWE. They don't listen to us, Mike.
Oh, well, they'd fucking start.
Because if they listened to us, we wouldn't have electrifying bouts like this planned out for Night of Champions. Randy Orton versus Chris Jericho in a match that I'm betting 20 minutes beforehand somebody will say, loser must leave WWE forever.
Well, they can do the Orton head punt and write Jericho off.
Or until your tour is over. We'll see you at the Royal Rumble, Chris.
But the thing with this is, like, they sort of passingly mentioned it on Raw that Jericho was the first undisputed champion.
Right.
And then Orton was the first WWE World Heavyweight Champion. It's like, the two guys to unify the titles, that's an angle that could build a feud. If you had more than 2 weeks to actually build a feud.
No, just have them do a one-off match.
And it's like, I know Jericho came back wanting to work with Wyatt, mm-hmm. but they could have done something with him and Orton based around the whole title unification guys. And, like, this is what we're getting. We're getting 2 weeks of them kind of looking at each other angrily, and then they have a match that's going to be Jericho's last match in the company until his tour wraps up.
Oh, don't forget, they had that great segment where Jericho just randomly got attacked.
Yeah.
I still maintain what we said last week. That would have been great if just Jericho all night long just randomly getting tackled from behind.
Just constantly walking through the hallway as somebody comes flying through and clotheslines him.
He'd keep it going, post some videos on Instagram, and with him just, like, collapsing. Next up, the revenge match, Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns, a match that, as we've mentioned several times, you've already seen just this past week on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
And now you can see it again for only $9.99.
I think you were right about Ambrose showing up during this match, and I think that that's really all that's going to be noteworthy about the match.
It'll probably still be a good match, but...
Yeah, they work well together, and I wish that they would do something about, like, maybe putting the Money in the Bank contract on the line or something.
It wouldn't surprise me if they do.
If they do that, then Rollins is going to win, no doubt. But
Kane just, like, walks into a room, and he's like, your Money in the Bank contract is on the line tonight, and Chris Jericho, whoever loses your match, must leave WWE forever.
And they're both looking at each other like, why? What'd we do?
Because entertainment.
It's what's best for business.
Because I'm the devil's favorite accountant. Triple threat match for the Divas Championship. Paige, Nikki Hardy, Bella, Nikki Hardy, Nikki Bella, Nikki Bella, Nikki Bella, and AJ Lee.
You said that this, like, angle was to set up to put the belt on Nikki. I
thought it was a fatal four-way.
Oh, okay.
I thought Brie was going to be in the match, too. And the way they were talking about it the night they made the match, it sounded like it was going to be a fatal four-way. I thought it was going to be a setup where Nikki could win the belt, but not actually pin Paige, so Paige and AJ can keep their thing going, and then Nikki and Brie can feud over the belt. Now that it's a triple threat, I say Nikki gets her ass kicked.
Yeah, I think Brie's going to come out and do something to cost her the title. I see Paige walking out still with the belt, because they want to continue the AJ-Paige angle, which I am all for.
You mean the angle of the camera on them as they roll around on top of each other?
I am fine with them in all angles.
Mike wishes he could see them in multiple angles. Tag Team Championship match, the Usos versus Goldust and Stardust. Sorry, there's a typo here. It says Starsust. And I was like, that's not right. Fun fact, as she is billed by WWE, Eden, a.k.a. Brandi Styles Rhodes, posted a video commemorating the one-year anniversary of her wedding. Which means 1 year ago today, Cody Rhodes was white hot and on his way to the top of the ladder, and today he is dressed like a monster rock star, energy can, and wrestling the Usos.
Did you actually watch the video at all?
No, I did not.
They don't show Cody's face. She goes into the kitchen because they have like presents for each other and stuff, and... Yeah, he gets, like, this new Star Wars-themed bathrobe, and he puts it on, and no shot of his face. It's like, guys, we know. We know that Cody and Stardust are the same person.
What?
We know this. Showing his face or not showing his face is not gonna confuse us any.
I would love it if they do a segment where Goldust runs into Cody backstage. Why aren't you in the costume, man? What are you talking about? Come on, Stardust! No, I'm not.
I got fired, man.
They fired me. I'm banging my smoking hot wife in my Star Wars robe. What are you doing, man?
I've been seeing you on TV. Who's this guy you're running around with? Looks like a rock star kid.
He seems like he's a big fan of David Bowie.
Yeah, I see no way that the Dust Brothers lose this one.
I'm hoping the payoff to this is the match they both have wanted for a while, which is brother versus brother at WrestleMania. Putting the belt on them and eventually you can have them explode and fall apart and that can be the end of Stardust. Then we get Goldust versus Cody at WrestleMania or hell, the Rumble. I'd be happy to see it at the Rumble. They can have a big spectacle where Goldust can go back to being an agent and Cody can fucking finally do something. But that makes sense. So Goldust and Stardust are probably going to just have the tag titles for the next 5 years.
Yep.
Until they're dethroned by, I don't know, the Ascension probably. Oh, God. Are they going to put the Dust Brothers against the Ascension?
Well, I foresee all these teams, Dust Brothers, Usos, Ascension, any other team that they could scrounge up by the time being in some...
Slater Gator.
Some just fuck fest of a match where they're all involved at WrestleMania.
Adam Rose and the Bunny?
Yep.
By the way, the Bunny has been being played by Sami Zayn.
No, it's been played by Sting.
Sami Zayn wearing a Sting mask, but wait, it's actually Sting wearing a Sami Zayn mask wearing a Sting mask. Stingception. Then it just cuts backstage like Sting in a chair screaming, Hunter, Hunter, give me the kick, Hunter, give me the kick, Hunter. U.S. Championship match, Sheamus versus Cesaro. It seems like we've come across this every 6 months. I'm looking at this and saying to myself, Cesaro should win this. I want Cesaro to win this. And I fully expect Monday night for Cesaro to have gotten his ass kicked.
Yep.
That Cesaro guy is white hot. Everybody seems to really like him. We better make sure we just don't do anything.
Yeah, Sheamus and Cesaro in the who gives a fuck match.
Sheamus versus Cesaro in the oh god, we fired ADR match. We need another evil foreigner, quick.
They've got Rusev. They don't need...
Rusev's too busy dealing with Jack Swagger and Mark Henry. How do you think Rusev feels from that?
I'm much more threatened by anything Russia's doing than Mexico.
Yeah, that's what they want you to think. And then, permanent siesta.
That sounds good right about now.
It does. Intercontinental Championship match. The show-off Dolph Ziggler.
I imagine I'm going to take an infinite siesta during this pay-per-view.
Night of siestas. Siesta of champions. Well, that would make it Nap of Champions. So yeah, that would be really cool, actually. Do you remember when Dolph Ziggler's show-off gimmick involved him actually showing off?
Yeah, doing handstands and shit.
It lasted about 3 weeks, and then he just kind of became Dolph Ziggler.
Well, it's the problem that they've had with looking at this card right now, about half the fucking people on it, is these kind of like, we're going to push you and then pull you back. And then push you a little more and pull you right back. It's these hot and cold pushes that it's like, just go with someone. Pick someone and say, okay, you're the guy. You're going to the top. We're going to use you for a long time now.
You say that, and they're going to be like, Hornswoggle.
That even then, it would be somebody that they're getting behind and pushing. I don't really care who it is at this point. Just stop with the start and stop with everybody.
We got a really good reaction from the crowd when the Great Khali guarded that door.
Yeah, it's like the... this is one of the reasons why they don't have any top guys anymore, is because, like, everyone's sort of looked upon at the same level, except for John Cena and Brock Lesnar. And that level is, like, very low, because everyone's kind of, but no. Which is why Dolph Ziggler and Miz are in the position they're in right now.
This is why Brodus Clay is in TNA, guys. You did see that,
I did,
right?
See that, yeah.
Okay. I laughed my ass off. That's a company that has said for years they will do anything to get Randy Orton, and they got Brodus Clay.
Well, now they got to wait for like two more strikes for Orton, because I think one of them has been expunged from his record.
There's no way the WWE will ever fire Orton just because they don't want TNA to have him.
Why? TNA has gotten much bigger names out of WWE and have done fuck all with them.
Like Hulk Hogan?
Like Hulk Hogan, Kurt Angle, Jeff Hardy.
I still say the best thing to come out of Kurt Angle being in TNA was that, I can't remember what it was from, but it was a quote from him around the time Chavo showed up. Kurt said, I have had many incredible five-star classic matches with the late, great Eddie Guerrero. I have also wrestled Chavo Guerrero on numerous occasions. Intercontinental Championship match?
Yes, the Incontinent Championship.
Mike wins. Dolph Ziggler versus The Miz.
I've never shit myself.
That's why you win.
I'm best at holding it in.
They put two guys in the ring, and they give them both stress balls, and you have to squeeze them as hard as you can, and the first guy to shit himself loses.
Then yay, I'm the winner.
Sometimes it's no disqualifications.
That was a hell of a reach.
Terrible. Oh, God. Ziggler retains, is my guess.
I don't know on this one.
Somebody Somebody on fan posted a great theory I would love to see them go with, which would be the Miz making Mizdow wrestle in his place, and then Triple H coming out and saying, "No, Damian won the match. He's the champion."
Oh, and then that starts a feud between them.
Yeah.
That could actually work.
That would be, I would laugh at that.
But no, I imagine because of what they've been doing, and God damn it, it's gonna be.
You think R-Truth's gonna get the pin?
I think R-Truth is gonna pin Damian Sandow, and that's how Ziggler is gonna retain the title.
I will fucking recall and beg for a refund of my money if that is what happened. No.
I'm calling it here. Something is going to happen where Ziggler and Miz are on the outside. R-Truth hits Sandow with something and pins him. And because the ref can't tell the fucking difference, R-Truth is going to retain the title for Dolph Ziggler.
And finally closing out the pay-per-view. The WWE World Heavyweight Championship match. The Beast, the Conqueror of the German Suplex Machine, the Killer of Barn Swallows, Brock Lesnar. Versus the Champ, the Eternal, the only thing he can't beat is Nikki Bella's biological clock, John Cena. Her biological clock is like, "Oh, babies." And he's like, "You can't see me. And your time is up. My time is now. Never give up." God damn. So John Cena's gonna get his ass kicked.
He has to.
He's gonna look all serious. He's gonna have that serious Cena face. Maybe he'll have the lock and chain around his neck again.
I would like for this match to be a little less lopsided than the SummerSlam match. It worked for SummerSlam.
I don't need another suplex match like that.
No, but it's like that worked one time.
John Cena needs to get some defense in, but still just get the shit kicked out of him.
Yeah. Which is why I don't want to see him go right into an angle with Rusev, because, and God damn it, I don't know why he won't. He needs to take some time away from television.
Now, there is a rumor going around that might be what they do with him, and I absolutely agree. If they do that, he needs to be gone for a month or two.
Yeah, it's they need Cena needs to fight back with Brock, have it be like somewhat even, and like get Brock pissed off. He was having fun at SummerSlam. Now he's angry, and he needs to just beat the dog shit out of Cena at some point in the match, and Cena needs to sell it for at least a couple weeks. He can't come back out on Raw and be like, "I gave it my best, guys."
Fucking skipping down to the ring.
Yeah, he needs to sell the beating, disappear for a little while.
I absolutely agree. So we can get the match we're all clamoring for, Brock Lesnar versus Bo Dallas.
You just gotta believe.
Whack!
If someone as big as John Cena can't do anything to Brock, Bo Dallas is just gonna get mauled.
What if Bo Dallas and Roman Reigns formed a tag team called Bo Leave Dat?
I thought it was gonna be Bowman.
Believe that. God damn it, WWE. I hate you so much. You were so good. Like, after WrestleMania, it was like everything is good right now. This is gonna be amazing.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it can't all be Brian and Punk leaving.
No, I don't think Punk leaving is any of it anymore.
It's like I could give them an excuse, maybe a month of hiccups as they
Hey,
try to.
do you remember 3 months ago when you were like, "I think we're gonna trace the departure of CM Punk back to a new boom period"?
Well, I'm still sort of thinking that it's like that is the bad thing that is going to like
Yes.
later on lead to something great happening.
CM Punk left, and then we just kind of waited around in our own shit for 2 years.
But goddamn.
Oh God, this fucking company. I don't know if you saw it. I don't know if you saw it, by the
God,
way.
Chris is channeling Jim Cornette right now. His fucking
Every day,
company, oh
I become a little bit more like Jim Cornette. Jim, I've never experienced what you experienced, but I've watched Raw, and I feel like I can get pretty goddamn close.
gonna have to eat about 40 Wendy's doubles and start carrying around a tennis racket, and you will be Jim Cornette.
Shitload of Sprite Zero.
Yep.
Gonna be Jim Cornette for Halloween. I just walk around yelling, God damn it!
Just wear a white coat and have a tennis racket and just motherfuck everyone that you see.
Motherfuck every one of you, and then, like, acid reflux all night. Ah, gotta die.
Just scream at everyone that they're ruining the wrestling business and have confused people. Like, what? What?
I could stand outside of Walmart and do that. It'd be very interesting.
We had it great back in 1978 until you motherfuckers came along and wrecked it all with your rock and wrestling bullshit.
So, we mentioned last week CM Punk fired off a 22-page letter to WWE.
Mm-hmm.
In response, WWE moved his merchandise to record low prices and then just took it all off.
That means that somewhere in Stamford is a warehouse still full of CM Punk shit.
About 6 months, you're going to see a bunch of really cheap CM Punk merchandise show up on the website somewhere.
If they do, I should grab another one of those Best in the World shirts, because mine has been put through the fucking ringer.
I really wanted one of those hoodies, and I put off buying it, and I put off buying it, and did you say it's been put through the ringer because it's a ringer shirt?
No, I'd say that it's been beat up.
Okay. Because that style of shirt's called a ring.
I know.
And, like, in the back of my head, I'm going, this motherfucker with his goddamn pelvis.
I didn't mean it like that. I can't resist, like, not emphasizing my puns when I make them on purpose.
I did also. I stumbled across the last wave of WWE Elite figures has a CM Punk figure in it, modeled after one of his last appearances in the company. With the mutton chops and the, yeah. And he comes with one of the
Punk
hoodies.
Wolverine.
Yeah. A weird look for CM Punk. I picked up one of those. I'd recommend you pick them up while you can, because I imagine once they're gone until somebody signs him to a Legends deal. Which will probably at this point be Triple H's granddaughter.
Yes, maybe Aurora Levesque could sign him to a Legends deal.
Who would have thought CM Punk would be the new Bret Hart? Except Bret Hart didn't marry Sonny. Was that wrong?
No. Well, I don't think AJ's fucking as many people backstage as Sonny was.
Did you also, just real quick, one last thing. Did you see the new NXT shirts they put out?
Mm-mm.
More specifically, did you see Charlotte's NXT shirt?
No, I haven't seen any of them.
Because
we both go to www.shop.com. Cheap plug.
So,
sponsor.
So Ric Flair had a shirt back in his prime. It said, I do it with Flair. Because
mm-hmm.
His last name is Flair.
Is it the, if you're going to
do it with Flair. How awkwardly could we word a t-shirt for this poor woman?
What's best about this is that, like, even though on the show they mentioned that she's the daughter of Ric Flair.
Yeah,
She's Charlotte. She's not Charlotte Flair. She doesn't have Flair in her name at all.
I just feel like they made the shirt so that Ric Flair could wear it out to the bar.
Oh, there's
gotta do it, Slugger! Woo!
I need this Mojo Rawley Stay Hyped shirt.
Oh, you hadn't seen that one before?
Like I said, I hadn't seen any of these. God damn, that is hard to look at.
Yep.
For anyone listening, because this is an audio, not a video podcast, it's got this weird, like, 3D red and blue graphic on it that, oh god, that fucks with my eyes.
It's 3D, Mike. 3D. Stay hyped.
I would kind of like this Lucha Dragon shirt if it wasn't colored like a tennis ball.
Sin Cara doesn't have a huge wang on it, so no purchase.
A vaudevillain shirt. I do need this.
You saw the Sin Cara penis shirt, right?
Yes, I saw that.
Okay. Yeah, the vaudevillain shirt is pretty cool. The only issue I really have with it, and it's more a grammatical thing, is that the very top it says, Live at Full Sail Live. Thanks for listening again, everybody.
Oh, is this done?
I'm going to call it done.
Okay. Well, we have been going for more than an hour.
Is there something else you'd like to address? Something else you'd like to bring up?
No.
No, come on, let's hear it. Any final thoughts,
I got
Mike?
No final thoughts, except that I really want this vaudevillain shirt now.
I'm going to leave with some wisdom that a coworker gave me the other day. Remember, I'm sorry and my bad are interchangeable everywhere, except at a funeral.
What?
I'm sorry and my bad are interchangeable everywhere except a funeral.
That did take me a second.
Thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye.